6:30, everything.
Okay, I think we will call this meeting to order. This is the 1/20/2016 meeting of the Story County Board of Adjustment. We'll come to order. Please call the roll.
McGill?
Here.
Anderson?
Here.
Scarlett?
Here.
Brecky?
Here.
Okay, next order, item of business is with the agenda has been provided to you prior to tonight's meeting. Any changes or additions to the agenda? If not, all in favor of approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Agenda stays the way it is. Additions. You've also been provided with a copy of the minutes from our last meeting, which was July 15th of 2015. Those of you that are here, any corrections to those minutes? If there are no corrections, the minutes stand approved as mailed in the packets. There are no further corrections, minutes, or excuse me, yes, the minutes are stand as approved. Moving into any old business, is there any old business that needs to come before the board before we move on?
No.
No. Okay. On that note, we'll move on. We've approved the minutes. Kind of lay this out. This is probably more a practice for me than anything because there are a lot of people out here in the audience. But if there are any, if you have come to the meeting, make sure that you have please signed in. And any comment that you wish, we'd like to make you at the podium so we've got it well recorded. Before we move on, are there any public comments that want to be made to the board before we hear any new business brought before us? If not, we'll move on to the hearings. I believe we have in front of us an annual review of CUP 09-07, Lax Heritage Farm Conditional Use Permit. Dwayne and Noreen Black.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome back after a long hiatus. This is in regarding of CUP 09 of what was approved in early 2008, but it was our ninth case and it came forward in our ninth case in 2007 for Black's Heritage Farm. Those of you that may not be already familiar with this long-established business south of Ames, it's located along South 530th Avenue, south of where University Avenue ends in the city of Ames. Here's kind of a map of the property. The CUP area includes both this property on the east side of the road as well as the west and the surrounding crop ground that surrounds this parcel where the farmstead and most of the buildings pertaining to the retail and novelty farm are located. If you're not familiar with University Avenue, it's where they just installed the new roundabout in the city. That's confusing a lot of people that aren't used to that sort of thing. Just to kind of give you an idea of where that's located. back here. The requested action today is for you to evaluate this annual review that we've done and make any recommendations as you see fit on the report that has been submitted to you. Here you can see some site shots. This is one of the barns that are located on the west side of the farm, but it's where signage is located to kind of show people from far distance where the business is located. Here's some other outbuildings where they have visitors come. The barn on the left side, they have small animals in there, sort of a petting zoo type thing when people come and get their pumpkins or pick their sweet corn, whatnot. They can come there and pet the animals. Other outbuildings that they use to facilitate their business. Some of the findings of fact regarding this case originally, a year and a half ago, I probably wouldn't have gone into all of this historical data, but we have pretty much a brand new board in front of us, so I kind of go through this, but all of this was outlined in the memo that was prepared for you. Again, this case, CUP 0907, was approved by the board with conditions on January 3rd, 2008. The request at that time was to expand a current retail and novelty farm operation. They purported to want to grow more crops, more varieties of crops, extend the length of the growing season by building high tunnels, and building a commercial kitchen to process their produce. Based on the lack of formal plans exhibiting the scale and expansion of what they were looking to do, the board at that time found it prudent to require an annual review as a condition of approval. At the annual review conducted in 2010, which was the second annual review, obviously, that was done of this conditional use permit, the board at that time moved to discontinue annual reviews. At the same time, another conditional of approval was to limit the conditional use permit at that time to 5 years and review the whole conditional use permit as a whole at that time. This review was conducted on January 30th, 2013. At that time, it was moved to extend the conditional use permit to January 2014. On February 26th, 2013, some of you may recall a conditional use permit was issued for the west side of the farm for Chamis Technology for a yard and wood waste disposal site. They hosted the free yard waste days that the City of Ames put on. Also, an insignificant modification to CUP 0907 was approved in November of 2013 to allow for small gatherings such as wedding receptions, with the condition that a log be kept and submitted annually detailing the date of the event, number of visitors, event description, and number of vehicles at that time. At the April 28, 2014 meeting, some of you may recall the board denied conditional use permit 03 of 2014. The applicant had proposed on the west side turning one of those buildings into a roadhouse that would regularly host bands and allow patrons to bring their own alcohol and operate into the wee hours of the morning. The applicant at that same time also applied for three other conditional use permits for a commercial campground, a church, and a child care center. After the previous application was denied, those applications were subsequently withdrawn. The conditional use permit that we're talking about today was last reviewed on February 5th, 2014. At that time, it was considered to extend the permit indefinitely and discontinue regular reviews. However, given the cases that were on the horizon that I just mentioned previously, the board found it prudent to take another look at this in a year's time. You'll notice that it's been more than a year since our last review. Throughout all the transitions that have occurred in the past year in our office, it's one of those things that fell through the crack, but we're here today nevertheless. A summary of our annual review, we visited the site on January 10th with Chad Black, Black's Heritage Farm, son of Dwayne and Noreen Black, the original applicants. According to him, their focus has shifted away from many of the ideas of the original proposal from 2007 to mostly focus on producing sweet corn and pumpkins. Most of their sales of sweet corn during the summer are off-site at roadside stands or wholesale. During pumpkin season, they see approximately 300 cars for their pick-your-own pumpkin days throughout a week or a weekend. As opposed to the proposal in the original application, all visitors remain on the east side of South 530th and do not cross the west side of the farm. That was one of the concerns that was brought forward during the review at that time. I actually had the opportunity to be the project manager. That was one of my first cases when I first came in. And that was one of the concerns that was brought forward during that time. There are no plans at this time to continue with building a commercial kitchen or growing other vegetables that would require the hoop house or high tunnel. This was provided in your staff report. It's since come to our attention that they would like to continue using the high tunnel in the future. So that isn't exactly accurate at the time of writing that staff report. They are adding large refrigeration units inside the existing structures in the west to help preserve sweet corn during the hot summer months. But staff noted that this is well within a principal permitted agricultural use in A1 zoning district, so there's no concerns there. Staff also noted that in recent discussions with the applicant, Shamness has not renewed their lease that will expire in February of this year. The property owner's plan is to have Shamness remove all yard waste and refuse from the site when Shamness moves out. Staff has asked the owners to notify them when this occurs so that they may expire CUP 03-12 for Shamness Technologies. Here's a picture of that high tunnel building. They did obtain a zoning permit for that structure when they finally put it in. Again, during our on-site inspection, it was articulated to us that they don't plan on using this building in the future. Then that was from Chad Black. Noreen then contacted us and let us know that, yeah, they would like to continue using that building, but it's already permitted. Staff did want to note through that same review, it came to our attention that the property owners are currently renting several of their buildings for storage. This is a use that is currently not permitted on this property, and we are working with the Blacks to obtain proper permits for that use. Overall, staff found that the applicant is in compliance with all conditions of approval. And I can go through the original conditions of approval if you'd like, but those were written in the memorandum that you were provided, except that submittal of logbook for events for that modification that they received. However, it was found during staff's visit that this is due to an electrical fire that occurred in the cabin where they hosted events some time ago. The applicant now has plans to move that reception area to the top floor of their barn, to the east of their house once renovations are complete. We have informed the applicant that when they are ready to move forward, they will need to apply for a conditional use permit modification to move that use to the new building. Here you can see that barn on the left-hand side, and the stairs leading up to it is where they would have that new small reception area. And the picture on the right is kind of difficult to see, but it was probably an 800-square-foot log cabin just to the north of their house where they originally hosted those events that caught fire. Overall, our review found that the present and future plans for this farm are well within the permitted use and will impose little threat to the standards of approval outlined in our ordinance. The requirement for the annual reviews at that time was in large part due to the lack of plans for the size and scale for the commercial kitchen that were proposed at that time. Since they are no longer in their plan, staff feels that if they can be removed from the conditional use permit through a modification, there would be no foreseeable need for regular reviews of this conditional use permit moving forward. Obviously, articulating that any change to what would be permitted on a conditional use permit after the modification would require an additional modification to their conditional use permit, and staff would decide at that time if the scale of what they're proposing would be appropriate to bring to you or just approve it on an administrative level. So with that, if the board does move to discontinue further reviews of the conditional use permit, staff would recommend the following condition be placed on that: that the applicant shall apply for a conditional use permit modification to move the location of the small reception event center, as well as remove the commercial kitchen from the original conditional use permit within 90 days of this meeting. I would note that in the original memorandum, because of that high tunnel issue that I already articulated, the high tunnel was included in that, but I've since removed it for this presentation sake because they would like to continue using that high tunnel. Staff feels that that in and of itself doesn't warrant looking at it for further reviews in the future as well. Because again, given it's already received a zoning permit for that structure. So with that, I leave you with the following four alternatives and be happy to answer any questions that you would have. It seems that Chad Black was planning on being here, but perhaps because of the weather, I don't see him in the audience, so I'll just entertain any questions that you might have.
So you mentioned the high tunnel. Do they want to leave it in? They want to take it out?
They evidently want to leave it in.
They want to leave it in.
Yeah, and that was found after we had already sent them a copy of the memo, so they would know what's up, and they read through it and decided that they'd like to just keep that in. So.
And would the 90 days be enough time from this meeting for them to make the move to the new center?
Yeah, I mean, they're currently working on already renovating it.
Okay.
I don't know if they were aware at the time that that would require a modification.
Okay.
At all. So I think that's a comfortable amount of time for them to get us enough plans that we can review it and possibly approve it in that time. It's just more of a carrot on their end to make sure they can get back with us within a reasonable time frame so we can get this taken care of.
So the portion that they're renovating, is that going to require a conditional use permit?
Not a separate conditional use permit, as it was already included as part of a conditional use permits allow somebody to do exactly what they presented to the board at the time of approval. Any changes that they may make down the road requires a modification to that conditional use permit. It can either be an insignificant modification, minor or major. Insignificant is just done on the staff level. We review it, determine that it's not that big of a deal, we can approve it. Minor goes just to the Board of Adjustment for review. That might have a little bit more impact that we would want the Board of Adjustment to look at. And then a major modification goes back to the Planning and Zoning Commission as well as Board of Adjustment. So in 2013, they applied for a modification to add that event center in the cabin that burnt down. We approved it as an insignificant modification at that time. So it's a part of the, essentially at that time, it becomes a part of the original conditional use permit. So to move it from the cabin to the new center would just require a modification to the conditional use permit. Likely, once we get the plans, we don't make that determination until we get an application, but it would likely be an insignificant modification at that time as well. That makes sense.
Yeah, because it's just a matter of this doing a similar process in a different location.
Precisely.
So are these conditional use permits primarily in regards to the east side of the road then?
At the time that they applied for the original conditional use permit, they wanted to open up the west side to be used in some way, especially if that's where they wanted to place the commercial kitchen, for instance, and then also maybe make use. They have, it's an old dairy farm processing plant, if you're not familiar. So they have a ton of buildings there that are really underutilized, so they were wanting to make more use of that area. But they didn't have any precise plans at the time that they came forward with how to use it. So that west side is included as the conditional use permit area that was approved with the original conditional use permit, as well as the fields, their fields that surround it, where they grow their crops, for instance. So, but as they're using it right now, they're not using, they haven't expanded and don't plan on expanding to the west side.
Will that new reception center that they're putting in the second floor of the barn, will that be handicap accessible?
It doesn't seem that way.
Is that a requirement?
That is something we'll have to review at the time that they apply.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if they have plans. Essentially, what we found out is they're planning on moving it, and we mentioned, well, you're going to need to get a permit for that in some capacity.
Okay.
When you guys actually go to move forward with that. Now, if it does become something that we look at it and find that they will have to make it handicap accessible, we would obviously make them do that, and if they can't, then we wouldn't approve the permit.
This has been, since I've been on the board, has been before us on several different occasions with several different ideas. Have you received any written correspondence from anyone concerning the area or concerning this whole situation?
You mean from like surrounding property owners?
Yes.
No.
Okay.
And I think a lot of that has to do with their business plan has kind of changed lately. As Marie says, we're going back to our roots. That's what she told Jerry when they last talked. So they're really just going back to focusing on growing crops and then selling them mostly off-site and then having, visitors on occasion.
Okay.
Kind of like, the strawberry patch south of town here and then Dumas pumpkin. It's going to be more of that sort of scale that I see. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on it in the future, and if we see any issues, we would bring it to their attention or bring it to your attention. But basically, their plans that they had in 2000, seven haven't come to fruition. The amount of time that we spend reviewing this on a regular basis, given how things are operating currently, I'm not sure it's worth our time. But that's a piece.
Any other questions for staff? You mentioned Mr. Black was going to be here. Is there anyone in the audience that was speaking for them? Okay. Any other public comments on it? If not, we'll close the discussion. Staff, board, what do you wish to do here? You have four options in front of you. My personal opinion, after seeing this and listening to it, if they're also familiar enough, I feel, with our requirements, that if they make any changes, they will be here. So I guess I'm leaning towards discontinuing the annual review.
Mm-hmm. But with the condition at the top?
Yes.
Yeah. I like that. I move that we direct staff to discontinue the annual reviews for CUP 0907 with the condition that they apply for a conditional use permit modification to move the location of the small reception event center, as well as remove the commercial kitchen conditional use permit within 90 days of this meeting. Okay.
Do I hear a second?
So I'm not sure what's appropriate, but this is not covering the entire area as far as buildings out there, residents. This is just in regards to permits that have been
correct
already issued. Yep, and for that land, yep. For the Black Heritage Farm site.
So,
go ahead.
Originally they wanted to do an annual review. Were there concerns? Is that why they wanted to do the annual review, or is that standard practice?
It's not a standard practice. What happened at that time was that they had plans. They had an idea of what they wanted to do, but they really hadn't fleshed out what those plans would be. So given that, but they had enough information for the board to move forward. So the board put the condition on there that they do the annual review, so then the board could monitor how they were growing, how exactly were they going to establish that commercial kitchen. Was it going to be just a little garage with a counter and a couple of refrigerators in there and a freezer, or was it going to be a Del Monte fruit processing plant? You know, those plans hadn't been fleshed out at that time. So that's why they had added the annual review. They did take over time. They took away the annual review, and then again they had also had they only allowed for this case, which also isn't conventional. They also required that the conditional use permit at that time only last 5 years in this case. So that kind of put a little limit on them. So the board could always look back on it at 5 years time. Well, this is now outside the scale of something we would have approved back in 2007. You either need to rein it back a bit, or we're going to expire your conditional use permit and not allow you to operate the business in this way. Because again, it goes back to the lack of formal plans that they had at that time. They really just had ideas. But the board did at that time again had enough information to move forward with the decision, but given those conditions. And that's really the overall purpose of having the conditional use permit process. Because you can't always account in the regulations for every single little thing, for every single proposal that someone comes forward with.
So we have a motion on the floor. Mm-hmm. Do I hear a second?
Second.
We have a motion and second. Call for a vote.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Brecky?
Aye.
McGill?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Motion carried.
Good.
Looking at our agenda, other business in front of us is looking at an election of officers for the coming year.
I have a question.
Sure.
How many are in the Board of Adjustment?
Generally five. Are we fully staffed?
We're missing one person.
Dave is missing.
Karen is here. Dave's term ended.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
So then you and I.
The only Steve.
Yeah.
Well, then before Steve does, I move Steve McGill be chair.
I can second that. And be in favor of it.
That's right.
Do we want a roll call vote on that one, or do we can just answer that aye?
Yes.
All in favor of Steve McGill being chair, answer by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Nay.
Seriously?
<All right. laughs> Vice chair?
I would be willing to be the vice chair.
I will second that motion.
Thank you. But I didn't make the motion. That would be a little self-serving.
Well, since there's only four of us, I move that Lynn Scarlett.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor of Lynn being vice chair?
Aye.
Aye. Carries.
Although we should have voted Karen in. She's not here.
Yeah, we could have if you don't show up.
If you don't show, you get voted.
We also have the meeting, the schedules in front of you for our calendar for the coming year. A question that I have, just the last meeting we had was on the 15th day of July, and prior to that, I know we had meetings monthly.
Mm-hmm, we did.
Is the activity out there slow, or we're just not getting anything?
Honestly, I'd never seen anything like it, because I kept looking forward to him having his first meeting so he could get introduced to everybody. And he started in August, and then we just never got anything enough that we could have put an agenda together. And then Kristen left at the beginning of November, and so it was just me and him running the show, so things were crazy, because we had kind of discussed a little bit of maybe having a December meeting just to set the agenda and elect officers, and then we just realized that was, at that time it was just too much to do. So, honestly, it was just because we didn't have any cases. And
do we have any pending now that you can know of that we'll have for February?
Not
probably for February, but April. We'll have the Center Grove Orchard.
Okay.
Conditional use permit. And I'm sure there's any other things. Possibly some training, which is something I wanted to talk to you guys about this evening.
Sure.
But that could be viewed another way, too. It's just that maybe everybody's meeting our requirements and
could be. I was just curious about that.
A variation to improvements that they're wanting to do.
Okay. Well, the calendar's out there, so just let everyone know that I won't be here during the March period if there's a meeting. I'll be out of town at that time. But as I look forward to the rest of the summer, I don't think I'll have too much of a problem. So. You mentioned train.
Yeah, when we get down to staff comments.
Excuse me. We don't need to. Do we? Don't need
probably
to vote.
Probably need to vote on it if you.
Oh, can. On the schedule.
Yeah.
I move we approve the 2016 Board of Adjustment schedule as presented.
I second.
Motion and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Now staff comments.
Great. I just had a couple things for you. The first thing was to talk about the comprehensive plan. I don't know if some of you have been following that along. We're working with MSA engineers, and they're helping us to go through the comprehensive planning process. We started this in May or June of 2015. Have had many meetings. We've got a project team primarily comprised of staff. We meet a couple times a month. There's a citizens advisory committee that's comprised of representatives from cities, other nonprofit organizations. I think there's about 30 some members. They meet about every other month. We started off by having open houses to get input from the general public, and we're now at the stage where the document is in draft form. There's various chapters that talk about transportation, housing, land use, a number of different things. But I wanted to kind of bring to your attention, we're at that point in the process where we want to get some additional input from citizens, and we've scheduled some open houses. We just had an open house last night at Zering. On the 26th of January, we'll be at the Story County Conservation Center. These meetings are from 6 to 7 o'clock, so if you're interested, please attend, or if you know some folks that would be interested in coming, please have them do so. January 28th, we're going to be at the Slater Elementary. February 2, Ames Public Library. So we're going to have five open houses to get input, to get the information out there again, to kind of gauge where we're at with the draft information that's been prepared so far. And then at some point we'll have the drafts before the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then ultimately before the Board of Supervisors in June. So that will be the wrap-up of that. So are there any questions about the comp plan process? Again, you can go to the county's website. It's c2cplan.com. If you have to answer questions about that or provide additional information about that, it's been a very open process. Enjoyable.
The consultants have gone to the Planning and Zoning Commission a couple times to, you know, kind of get feedback from them throughout the process. But at the same time, we'd encourage the board as well to go and see a draft of the plan, review it, and if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, let us know.
Are those public hearing dates on that site too?
They are.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, 6 to 7. The next thing that I want to talk about is training. The Board of Supervisors are very open to allow, encourage staff and the board and committee members to participate in training. So if there's something that you see as a need for future training, please let us know, but please let staff know. I just received an email today from Gary Taylor from Iowa State. He's offering some training for Planning and Zoning Commission members, Board of Adjustment members. It seems like it's more entry-level information, but it's case studies, and they're going to be having evening training. The closest one would be March 22 at Clear Lake at the Best Western Holiday Lodge. It's in the evening, starts at 6 o'clock, goes from 6 to 8:45. This is something that the county would pay for if there's interested. Also, if we get five members or more to attend, there's a price reduction. So just call, give us an email if you think you're interested in participating in that. Or if there's something else that you think would be helpful to help you in your role as Board of Adjustment members. I've heard a lot of good things about the work that you've done, and believe me, staff really appreciates that, and we really appreciate the work that you've done. So, thank you.
Well, I would recommend on training, from my standpoint, anything you see that you think would help us, that, you know, the thing is fitting it into our schedule.
Right.
You know, like I said, I'm going to be out of town in March, so that one up at Clear Lake won't do us any good. but there's something closer, or there's something that comes on throughout the course of the year, we'd definitely be interested in knowing about.
Or would you consider just offering like a 1 hour training that we could just kind of go through all the different pieces and
we could talk about your role and maybe highlight on
rules of order or rules of procedure.
Rules of procedure, or maybe a case or two that you're curious about. How, you know, maybe go out and take site photos and see how that actually turned out.
And we could talk to Gary Taylor about coming as well directly to us. I mean, he's at Iowa State, and he's worked with our boards and commissions in the past, and he does a great job. So that's something we can work on for sure.
You know, when Dave stepped off the board, we had a lot of experience. He'd been on here a long time.
Yeah.
And we've seen everything from the use permit of the sheriff's shooting range, which was the very first one I walked in on several years ago, and the room was packed. I thought, this ought to be too much of a problem. That opened it up, and then we had a situation with a shed that was built.
Yep, that was built too close to the streets and
already constructed.
Yeah,
it had been there several years, and they wanted to do some remodeling. Well, by triggering the remodeling, if I remember correctly, it was going to force them to move it.
Right, and there was no place to put it.
Yeah.
And they had the same builder build the house that built the shed, so they felt that the builder knew the expectations, but it was on a cul-de-sac and rules are different, and the road is different.
And then you fall within that ring around the city of Ames, where the city of Ames has certain rules, and you know, their comprehensive plan, and trying to get it together. We had one situation out without West Ames. Remember, the individual was, they were trying to.
Didn't they have barking dogs? Wasn't there someone here that was complaining about their dogs? And the dog wasn't even the issue.
Well, they were trying also to develop an area
that
the city of Ames did not want developed.
Right.
And we had to work. But it's just things like that that, you know, you work through.
Trying to find those loopholes that Dave knew about or could help massage it so that it didn't work out and someone didn't have to tear
it. In some we couldn't.
Right.
We tried to work with those that are there, and sometimes you can, and sometimes you just, even though it seems minor, you can't. Because when you do something, you set a precedence that could be used against you in the future. So.
Yeah, another good example is the Casey's one.
Just
an update there. They got an extension for their preliminary permit. Their plans kind of changed, but they'll be probably breaking ground early spring.
Aren't they building a brand new building to the south?
Right over, mostly to the south, but kind of right over the existing one, too. Yeah.
Well, did they change their building plan? Because the one they had before, they wanted to put it closer to the...
Excuse me.
What
they ended up doing is partially modifying their building plan, but they ended up, as was suggested at the meeting, buying some of the land from the guy to the west.
Yeah.
So even though we had suggested that to them at the beginning, even before you guys saw it, once they realized it wasn't going anywhere, then they went ahead and did that. Mm-hmm. And then they met the setback requirements at that time. So
then I noticed that KSIH eventually hung their sign on their building.
Yes. And Gary's not there anymore either.
Oh, he's neither anymore?
He retired suddenly.
Ah.
So the Casey's is the South Casey's that you're referring to?
No, the Casey's is up at
Gilbert Corner.
Up at the Gilbert Corner.
Okay.
They were going to build it. Was too close in the front, or was it the back?
They wanted to move it back or build to the back, and there wasn't going to be enough setback.
Right.
And they wanted us to approve letting them have a smaller setback, and we said no.
Yeah.
They should have brought pizza. I think then we would have worked with them.
And then the Case IH dealer came in, and he had a large sign that he wanted approved. Mm-hmm. But it would have been too close. First off, the regulation states you can only have so much square foot of signage. He had two other small signs that added into it, and the way the sign was constructed, it was not an open sign. It was clear to the ground, mm-hmm. which fell into the square footage mm-hmm. of the signage. And he wanted a variance to put that sign up. And we wouldn't back down because he could get a smaller sign. He says that corporate says no, he could not. But in my driving around the countryside, I've noticed there are smaller signs very similar to that large one he wanted.
Yeah.
He could hang the sign on his building,
mm-hmm.
and he'd be okay because it's part of the building. And he got very upset at us that night.
I thought I saw like footings and power and everything out to the future sign area.
Yeah, they did. He had a skid loader out there, and they had a hole dug. And
oh, yeah. Right. I figured the sign was going to go up soon.
I thought it was going to go up, whether we liked it or not.
Whether we liked it or not.
But didn't we change the variance so that it's a larger square footage and we don't count the little sign that says service or...
Yeah, and then also we did amend our mm-hmm. ordinance to allow for a little bit more flexibility.
Right.
It still didn't quite go to exactly what they wanted, but we were able to kind of meet in the middle that way, and their permit was approved, and then they decided not to go forward with it after all that. But that's a good example of, you know, when the board is looking at these things, they're examining those legal principles that they are adhered to. In cases like this, you know, once you look at those legal principles, you really can't make a case that it meets those. And if it doesn't meet one, it can't be approved. And that's kind of how our ordinance is laid out in general across the country. Now, some boards are better than others at, you know, really looking at those legal principles. But
the interesting part is there's certain ones that if they... more in the country, they'll have a building. The building's been there mm-hmm. forever. Well, they're going to remodel it. Or they're tearing it down, they're going to build a new building. But in tearing it down and building a new building, now all of a sudden, they have to adhere to the ordinance. And what they don't understand is, I had it there before. And in one case we had, I remember, they left a small part of the foundation.
They did. Wasn't that for a garage?
I think that's what it was for, and since they left a small part of the foundation, they came at it from the standpoint that, okay, it's still part of the building. So the old building's still there. So, okay, we'll grandfather it in. But, people may be getting smarter or more used to it than they were out here in the country, but... For a while there, they just, okay, we're out here, we'll build.
Isn't that what they did with Panera, too, in the city of Ames? You familiar with that? I think they ended up leaving a portion of the back wall.
Oh, is that right?
From Hardee's.
Oh, from
yeah.
Hardee's.
Because
right.
Hardee's didn't have adequate setback,
yeah.
as you just stated.
Yeah.
It triggered the
yeah.
new compliance. And so as long as they left a portion of the wall from Hardee's, they could rebuild.
Yeah.
So... don't take that as.
Oh, no, it's a.
But I'm fairly certain that's what happened. Yeah.
I think that's probably true. That makes sense.
But, yeah, and if you take a look at it, they are backed into
yeah,
their
are.
Neighborhood. So
yeah.
I'm guessing the setback would have messed up their parking options.
Yes. The parking's bad enough there. Mm-hmm.
Right.
A question for Sherry.
Yes.
So the training as a newbie, is it beneficial or useful for one or two of us to go, even though the main man can't make it?
You're certainly welcome to indicate that you want to go, and we'll make sure that happens. This is just one thing that came up. There's training that's offered through APA, through the Iowa chapter. COZO, the county zoning officials, often offer training. So there'll be things that will come up, and we'll make sure that we get that information to you. But if you are interested, sure, just let us know.
Okay.
Otherwise, could we maybe do something on February 17th? Because I already have this on my calendar. And if we just did like an hour, so it'd be like 4 to 5, would that be doable for you guys?
We could.
Maybe refresh this on some of the regular, like we talk about the signs, where in the years that we've been in here, it seems like it's signage, it's fencing occasionally,
setbacks,
cell towers, wind turbines.
Yeah. I haven't seen as much of that, the wind turbines.
No, I haven't either. I think that's...
The last one we had was the one that would be on the road that was between... Vetters and that ag center.
Mm-hmm.
And remember the one gentleman was here and talked about the white noise from the turbine?
Right.
That was about the last one we've had.
Yeah, and we're still waiting for him to build them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're right across from Vetters, that there's one that's approved that's to go in there, but they
haven't...
Yeah,
on the south side of 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
So that's still in the works? I mean, mm-hmm. is that permit for 13 months or is it for 13 years?
What additional use permits last 5 years.
5 years?
Okay. Unless substantial action has been taken to fulfill the conditional use permit. So, but if no action has been taken as deemed by the director, then we would expire the conditional use permit and they'd have to reapply. But in this case, they've applied for the conditional use permit. It was approved for several different sites throughout the county. And then they applied for the building permit, what we call our preliminary, our zoning permit. And the preliminary permits has been issued 2 years ago, and we've been extending them due to the cost of the fee for these building permits, because it's based on evaluation, and each one of the turbines is about $1.5 million a piece. We've continued to work with the applicant to extend them past the required dates. So we're just waiting to hear from them for the inspection so we can issue the final zoning permit and they can
Footings are in some of them, correct? Footings?
What's that?
The footings have been installed for the turbines?
Not for these.
Okay, because the guy's farming, you know, south of 30, between 30 and 30, if you will. I know they're farming around.
I was thinking that, yeah, I'm like you, I was thinking the footings had been, there's one that's supposed to be set almost straight south of DuPont.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that they had poured the footings on that.
There's a gravel...
They put the access road in so they can,
And then there's,
you know.
And then I know the one further to the south, Chubb Myers farms that
mm-hmm.
land.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And talked to him this fall, and it's like, yeah, unfortunately, we have to go around it. So I just made the assumption
mm-hmm.
that there was a reason they had to go around it, because if it's just a spot, they may as well.
I'm guessing they've executed the leases on them already, so that, you know, even though they haven't put turbines on them. The leases
okay.
have been.
Yeah, Randy Collins is at the.
Yeah, the ones that go further south. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're just waiting for the call.
Kind of bounce across at an angle.
Yeah, something like that, because there was one on the south where Randy is, and then I thought there was three on the other to the north, maybe.
Yeah.
Because they came in here and they wanted an overhead power line on it. And they eventually changed that. Finally put it underground, but they were going to try to put an overhead power line over Highway 30.
That's right, yes.
Oh, to tap in.
Yeah.
I was here for one of those.
You were here for one of those?
I live very close to that, and I wasn't actually very excited about the turbines.
Right.
I understand.
Which was good, informative for me, because what I found out was they were meeting the criteria. So,
what was informative to me on that is I want to say it's the epileptic effect, but it's the blinking of the turbines turning.
Shadow flicker.
And when we did work on the bank, one of the things that we wanted was ceiling fans to cool it.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, Human Resources was all over us and said, no, you can't do that, because what that does, that blinking effect of that turning of those blades and the light can trigger an epileptic seizure.
Oh, really?
And so I looked it up after we were in here in that meeting, and sure enough, there is
documented proof that that, you know, that blade blinking when it turns can trigger a problem.
So I happen to go to a fairly contemporary church, Cornerstone Church here in Ames.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally they'll have a pretty upbeat concert with strobes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not uncommon for us to haul people out of a stretcher.
Is that right?
We've had multiple seizures.
Really?
And most people who are subject to that know I should leave now.
Yeah.
But they usually are enjoying the program to the point where they don't leave, and the next thing we know, it's like...
You're out.
Yeah, we're calling 911 and hauling them out of the stretcher. So, yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Interesting.
It's happened multiple times.
Anyway. So, yeah, any training, you know, we're open just to send it our direction. And just a training on how the, well, for example, like today, conducting the meeting. I've been in here and I've heard Dave conduct it regularly.
Right.
Over the past, I think I've been here.
Our terms are on the front of the minutes, actually. I just noticed that.
Did you miss it?
On the front page. You're here until 17.
I'm here until 17.
And I'm here until 18.
I think you've done a great job so far.
yeah, we follow. I think the number of times I've had to chair a meeting, I can count on one hand.
And I'd like to follow that process where it's just like occasionally I have to do it. But I would like to maybe have some training.
Do I plan on the 17th?
I would be available that day. And kind of like maybe, I don't know, planning and zoning, Board of Adjustment 101 kind of thing where maybe you do a PowerPoint that explains all the different permits. And then, I don't know if you could give an example or something. I don't really need to go out into the field and actually take pictures, especially in February.
We're out there, aren't we?
Yeah, I know you guys are.
Exactly.
So, Lynn, you're referring to a meeting that was previously scheduled?
Well, we have February 17th already on the calendar.
On our calendar.
Okay.
And so if that works for the rest of you, or...
At 4 o'clock?
If that's okay. And just maybe plan for like an hour and... Mm-hmm. And if we want another one, maybe we do. If we don't have a regular meeting in March, maybe we can look at doing something if that works for everybody's calendars.
Works for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'll work.
Yeah. Because I know when I started this, Leanne gave me a binder that had, I think it had the county's code enforcement, but never really used it, and I know I don't have it anymore. So if there's materials that that I should have for a meeting, so to be better prepared.
Okay,
that'd be great.
Yeah, and if you have an electronic version, that would be even better.
Yeah, even better.
You could send it to us
electronically.
And that's 4 to 11:30.
4 to 5.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, no. And
no, but that was one of those meetings you were in there last until 11:30.
I was going to say, dude, we don't still have that on here. Yes, we do. The board shall adjourn prior to, but no later than 11:30 p.m.
I told my wife I'd be home before midnight.
Yeah. Damn that.
We've had to postpone once in my time here. Way back when. Got to 11:30.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember we ever had one that I've been on here that went till
11:30.
Maybe. Eggers, they wanted... They're just north of the Martin Marietta, and they wanted to put their own gravel pit in, and it was a big...
Oh, yeah, that
deal.
Was just... Yeah.
Was that the one that was up by the Conservation Center exit?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah. I do remember that
back in there.
But I don't remember it going that late, did it?
I don't remember.
That was back in 2008, I want to say.
I wasn't on the board in 08.
Yeah.
I think that might have been just before I got on the board.
Because I know you talked about the sheriff one, and then when that came up for review, I had Lloyd Brown call me, and I still at United Way. And I think I was on the phone with him for an hour, and he gave me all the reasons why we should not allow them to do whatever it was they wanted. And I thought, oh my God, what am I on? What am I signed up for?
That was probably one of the biggest surprises I had when I walked in. I didn't think too much about it.
and I walk in, and most of the people I know, and they're protesting it, and I'm thinking, okay, now what am I involved in?
What year was that?
Well, I was on 3 years before you were.
I thought I came just like a year after you.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Something like that. Yeah, that could be. But it was the very first meeting, and I can't remember the year. I'd have to go back and look when I first came on the board.
So we serve 3 year terms, right? Or is it four? Oh, it's
five.
So I've been on in, or I have been on since 08. So you would have been on just right before me.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm only on until 2016.
Yeah. But you.
How did I get.
Another place.
Are you fulfilling some board
might be
third?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm sorry. What?
We'll train you on that next meeting.
On what?
On the length of terms.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I was just looking earlier, and I was looking at the Planning and Zoning Commission. I know their term is 5 years, but
okay.
You guys might be different. So
I don't remember. Leanne asked me, and I said yes. So
yeah, I called an email. I thought Jerry said.
So then after two terms, you're off, right? Or no, is there any kind of consecutive?
I suppose you could request.
I don't think it's hard. I don't think it's hard and fast like Ames is. Ames, you know, you serve your term and you're done.
Right.
You know, I think that you could request to be, you know, for another term.
We don't exactly have people beating the door.
I know.
Yeah. Leanne came to Rotary and was asking for people when I volunteered.
Oh, okay.
Kurt Hoffman just stepped off.
Oh, okay.
He said, guess what?
The bank needs to have a presence, so you're it. All right. Good meeting. I like these.
Yeah. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
For a second.
Second.
All in favor of adjournment?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Thanks, Stephanie. Good job.
Yes.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So is this the first job you've had?